You are listening to the weekly podcast of City Church Orlando, located just off of 1792 at 650 Airport Boulevard in Sanford, Florida. Our website, OrlandoCityChurch.com. Today, Lead Pastor Eugene Smith will wrap up our series called Plugged In. We believe at City Church that God has given us a strategy for us to connect with God in communion and share our lives with one another. Connecting Points is the place where you are being the minister that God has created you to be. This morning, we're going to discover not only how we can connect with God, but live in a life of community with others that enables us to live the Great Commission that Christ has commanded us to live. Our scripture text comes from Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 20. Today's message is entitled, Your Future.
This is a final message in our Plugged In series. I thought about calling this message, Back to the Future. Anybody ever see those movies, Back to the Future? I don't know, man. I haven't watched that movie in a long time, but it just brings kind of smiles on my face when I think about that whole, I mean, everybody here has thought about time travel before, right? We've all thought about going back in time. Wouldn't it be cool to know what you know today and like go back in the, I don't know, I think it would be cool. I think that's why they made the movie, right? But, but really, in some ways we go back to the future. I mean, things change, but not much. I mean, things change. People change. Birth dates change. The year changes. But the fact is, the way that people relate to one another and relationships and how humankind has problems and good things and bad things really don't change much. I mean, I have found some pictures on my iPad. I was looking the other day, and they were color pictures taken in 1910 in Russia. And I don't know, has anybody here ever seen, unless you got the email from me, but if you didn't get the email from me, have you ever seen a color picture taken in 1910? Anybody? No, because they didn't have them in the United States of America. And there was some photographer in Russia, and I think next service I'm actually going to show the picture because they're just unbelievable. But this photographer in Russia figured out how to take color pictures in 1910. And for the first time in my life, I saw the year that my grandmother was born in color. And it looked completely different because the way that I see the year that my grandmother was born is in black and white. You know what I'm talking about? You kind of think of the old movies and everything's in black and white. Well, it wasn't black and white. It was in living color. And the fact is that things don't change very much. Things don't change very much. Things change, but they really don't change. The way that we connect to God and the way that we connect other people, they've been doing it for thousands of years since the beginning of time. And in Matthew chapter 28, we're going to look at two verses, Matthew chapter 28 and Acts chapter 5, verse number 42. Let's begin with Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to begin with verse number 19. And the Bible says, Jesus said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. Everyone say, back to the future. All right. Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. This is a back to the future statement. They were to do it in Jesus' day, but we are to continue to do what Jesus commanded us to do, and that was to make disciples even to the very end. Now I want you to turn to Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, verse number 42. Acts chapter 5, verse number 42, and I'm reading now the New International Version. And the Bible says, day after day in the temple courts, everyone say temple courts, and from house to house, they never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news. Everyone say good news. Oh, you got to say that loud. Good news. That Jesus is the Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that these next few moments, your Holy Spirit would open our hearts to hear from you, to hear clearly that you have a divine purpose and plan for us to not only be connected with you, but to connect with one another's and to show this connection by caring for those in need. God, I pray that you'll release something supernatural today, Lord, as we celebrate the splash, as we jump in full into the purposes that you have for each of us. We thank you for this time together in your wonderful name. Amen. to experience God in celebration, to connect with each other in community, and to live for God by caring. To experience God in celebration, to connect with each other in community, and to live for God in community. That's my thought this morning. That's really what God, that's our back to the future statement. You can put that, I got that PowerPoint there, you should have that up. This morning, God wants us to embrace this vision. God wants us to embrace this vision for this house. God wants us not only to connect with Him, which we've already done this morning through our praise and worship, but God wants us to connect with each other in community. Thus, we have tables. I believe Christina told me we have over 25 small groups represented this morning around the building. Come on, can we give the Lord a great big hand clap? That's a lot of small groups. And not even all the small groups are out there. The youth ministry has small groups that they're doing. And to live for God by caring for others. The vision. This is the vision. You see, in Jesus' day, after Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave his disciples a commission. And that commission was that they were to go and to wait and to pray for the Holy Spirit's power, which they did. And when they received the power of the Holy Spirit, they continued to do things that good Jewish men did. And that was to go to the temple. They went to the temple every day. But on the Sabbath, they definitely went to the temple. And they went to the temple, and after they went to the temple, they met daily house to house. Thus, we have temple courts. Everyone say temple courts. Everyone say house to house. They had ministry to God in the temple. It was their day of celebration. We as New Testament believers gather on the first day of the week. Now, we know that in this relationship that we have with God, we can worship God on Monday. We could have a Monday night service. We had a Saturday night service in here last night. We had about 40 people that were worshiping and praying. And so we can praise and worship and celebrate the goodness of God on Saturday night. But for 2,000 years, the Christian church has identified Sunday morning, the first day of the week, as their day of celebration. But then something else happened. It wasn't just a one-day-a-week experience. They went house to house, and they began to talk about Jesus. We actually have some examples of what they did. They broke bread. This morning, what did we do? We broke bread. We took communion. Well, they actually extended it even farther. They had what they called a koinonia meal, a meal of fellowship, a meal of communion, sitting around a table and sharing and doing life together. And then they begin to talk about Jesus. They begin to share Jesus. They begin to talk about their experience of Jesus and what they knew about Jesus. And then they would learn from the apostles' teaching about Jesus. Everyone say, it's all about Jesus. It's all about making the name of Jesus famous in this city. In 2 weeks, we're going to begin a series entitled Jesus Is. Jesus is. And for 6 weeks, we're going to talk about who Jesus is from the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to talk about who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Well, people have all kinds of ideas about Jesus, but the Bible clearly has told us that Jesus is our Messiah. He's our Savior. He's our salvation. He's our deliverer. He's our hope. He's our baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He's our healer, and he's our soon coming King. Someone said amen this morning. And so this morning, this connecting point, this connecting to God, this going back to the future is about connecting with God in communion, but connecting with one another in community. And that's what we're here today to talk to you about connecting with one another in community. This church this morning is a direct result of my wife and I 20 years ago connecting in community with other believers. This church today started because over 20 years ago, my wife and I met with two other young couples, and we started having community. We just hung out together. We played card games together. As a matter of fact, one of the funnest things that we ever did as a young couple is Laura was very pregnant. She was nigh unto birth, not nigh unto death. She was nigh unto giving birth to Austin. He was still in his mother's womb, and we decided that we were going to kind of help the process along because she wanted to give birth very quickly. She was tired of carrying this child. And so we decided one night with these two other couples that we would go to every fast food restaurant that we could go to that night. And so, man, we went to Dairy Queen, Burger King, Taco Smell. We went to Mickey D's. And you know what? I don't know if it worked or not, but she was in the hospital really soon after that. I mean, we just had a great time. And out of that relationship, one of the couples in that group, in that fellowship group that we were just connecting with, we ended up planting our first church. The first church that we started in Seattle was birthed out of a relationship that we had with these other couples. And out of that, God did something in my heart. I knew that we would start another church. I knew that that would happen. It was a direct result. When City Church of Orlando was founded, we were actually in Orlando. We were meeting in Metro West, and there were two other couples that had moved from Seattle, Washington, and we were doing life together. We were doing koinonia. We were fellowshipping. We were breaking bread. We were strategizing, but we had moved here intentionally with the goal of planting church. But it all came out of a relationship of connecting with other believers. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 11, the Bible says, "It is Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Part of the overall purpose is He's working out everything and everyone." Part of the overall purpose, He is working out in everything and everyone. You see, this morning, God is working out His purpose in every one of us. And each one of us, God is working out His purpose this morning. And in order for you and I to live according to God's purpose, we must believe that God has made us to know and to live for that purpose. See, here's the deal in our lives. Our lives will never make sense until we understand that we've been created by God not only to know Him, we've been created not only to know Him, but we've been created for His purposes. To know God is to enjoy Him forever and to make Him known to other people. I love the way Colossians chapter 1 says it. Everything, absolutely everything, got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. You see, this life that we living in today, someone once said, is three things. It's a test, it's a training ground, and it's a temporary assignment. The life that you and I live in today, it's a test, it's a training ground, and it's a temporary assignment. You see, we're going to spend 20, 30, 40, 50, maybe some will live 60 more years on this planet. But we will live for eternity. And the way that we live here in this life will determine not only where we spend eternity, but it will determine how we spend eternity. Not only where we're going to spend eternity, because if you're in this church on 8:30, you might not know Jesus as your personal Savior, but before you leave today, we'll give you an opportunity to come into relationship with God, to know Him personally. But listen, most people have encountered the truth today. Most people in this room have heard about the love of God through His Son, Jesus. And most people in this room, the reason you got up early and came to an 8:30 service is because you came here to worship. So you probably got a get-out-of-jail-free card this morning. You're probably going to pass go and collect $200. You're probably going to spend eternity in heaven. But the fact is, what we do in eternity will be determined by how we live our lives on this earth. You see, I don't know about you, but every once in a while, that makes me a little bit nervous. That ought to make some of you a little bit nervous, too, every once in a while. Life's a test. Life's a training ground. And it's a temporary assignment. You see, this morning has been given to you by God. And God created you for His pleasure. You got to hear that this morning. God created you for His pleasure. Think about that. You were created for God's pleasure. We were created for God's pleasure and for His enjoyment. It's that simple. It's that simple. We were created for God's pleasure and for His enjoyment. Listen to what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11. You, God, created everything. You, God, created everything. And it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created. You, God, created everything. And it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created. It is for God's pleasure that you were created today. You're not a random chance. You're not an accident. You see, there are no accidents in this room today. There are no accidental children. It's the reason that we don't believe in abortion, but because we believe that God had a design and a plan for every single person born on planet Earth. Now, there might be some accidental parents this morning, but there's no accidental children. There's no accidents in this life. You see, this morning, God created you, and He takes pleasure in you, His creation. You're His crown jewel. I love what one psalm says. One of the psalms says, God delights. He delights. Everyone say delights. In the prosperity of His servants. Psalms 149 verse 4 says, the Lord takes pleasure, or He delights in His people. When my boys were really little, I remember bringing both of them home. It was a few years ago now, and I remember carrying them home. And you know, my boys didn't have to do anything to please me. They just had to breathe. That's all they had to do. I remember walking in when they were little tiny babies, and when they're in their cribs, and I would just stand in the room and watch them breathe. Just watching them breathe brought me great joy as a father. You'll never know that feeling until you have your own children. Just see your children breathe. My children are 20 and 15 now, and they don't know it, but I still sometimes just walk in their room, and I watch them breathe. I just watch them breathe. It brings me great joy. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to run around the house and make sure everything is clean. They just have to breathe. Just lay there. You know, sometimes we think the only way that God is pleased with us is if we're doing a bunch of religious things. We're going to church and, you know, we're singing a song, or, you know, when we're reading our Bible, then God's happy with us. I mean, it's just a wrong understanding of God delighting in you, His child. He loves you. The moment you really get this, the moment you really understand how much the Father loves you, boy, you got grace. You got grace. It's no longer then about rules and religion and religiosity and about keeping all these kinds of things to make God happy. 10 minutes, oh my goodness. Jesus, help me. God loves you. God loves you. It is about the two. But it's not only about the two this morning. It's about the whole world. God said, I don't want your sacrifices, I want your love. I don't want your offerings, I want you to know me. See, here's the tragic thing in our culture. Most people know more about sex, most people know more about sports and superstars than they do about the one who made the stars. I mean, it's a fact. Most people, if they only knew, if they didn't know, not religion today, but if they really knew Jesus, really knew Jesus. You know, it's all mixed up with politics and all kinds of stuff today. And that's not Jesus, guys. That's not Jesus. There's a desire in every man and every person to really know God, to really know Him today. Just this month, there's a girl in Brooklyn, New York. Her name is Wanda Rodriguez. She's a nurse at a hospital called Calvary Hospital in the Bronx. And she was walking down the hallway, and she looked into her room, and she saw a man, and when she walked past him and she saw him, she said, that's my father. She'd never met her father before. She'd never met this man before. She's 41 years of age, and her father and mother divorced when she was a baby. She'd never met him. She walked back past the room. This man has terminal cancer. He's dying right now. He'll never leave the hospital. She walked past the room. She said, that's my father. She walked and she went and told one of the doctors, she goes, I think I just saw my father. And so when she walked back into the room, she said, hi, my name is Wanda Rodriguez and I'm your daughter. And the moment she said that, he said, I knew you were my daughter the moment I saw you. She tells a story. She says, my whole life, I just wanted to meet my dad. I just wanted to meet my dad. That's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to know him. See, that's what people, they just want to know God. And she has forgiven him. She brought her family. And he said these words, the last things that he said that I read this morning, was that I finally can die in peace. I finally can die in peace. There's something in the heart of every man. You see, God's created us to know and to love him. But he's also created you to be part of his family, to be part of the family of God. I love this verse in Ephesians. It says, God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. So when you come to know God, it isn't just about this relationship between the two of you now. It becomes about his whole family. And his family is not about race. His family is not about politics or nationality or what nation or country you were born in. His family is about grace and the blood of Jesus that covers every man who admits that they're a sinner and believes that he died on the cross and calls upon him forgiveness and hope and salvation. You see, this morning, we're part of the family of God. See, we have a human family by blood, but we have a spiritual family by new birth. It's called the grace of God. First Peter says it like this: God has given us the privilege of being born again so that we are now members of God's own family. You're a member of God's family. That's what this community is about. That's why we have all the tables set up out here this morning, because you're a member of God's very own family, a community of believers that desire to not only know him, but to connect with one another and to make Jesus' name famous in this city. The Bible says that God's family is the support and the foundation of your life. You see, every person in this room will have earthquakes. Every person in this room will experience spiritual earthquakes. On Monday, I was in a nation that literally experienced an earthquake. I want you to see just a couple of pictures that I took. This is a picture. Just I was driving to the airport. I thought I better take some pictures so people could see buildings. I don't even know how to describe it. This is actually probably a pretty good standing building, but probably one out of every four buildings. Most look like this. And I want you to see this last building. This is a picture of the Haitian White House. It's been ravaged. It's crumbled. It's not a good picture. I couldn't get any closer, obviously, and I couldn't stand on the other side of the street to get a better picture because it was a tent city of about 60,000 people, and it was a little unnerving, to say the least, to be standing where we were standing right then. But that's the Haitian White House. That was the place of prominence in that country. It's crumbled. You see, if a building doesn't have the right foundation, when the earthquakes of life come, it will crumble, and you will have earthquakes. You will have earthquakes in your life. You will, absolutely. You might have a financial earthquake. You might have a spiritual earthquake. You might have a marriage earthquake. You might have a physical earthquake. I don't know. Every person in this life has earthquakes as things happen, and you need a spiritual family. You need a spiritual family. This is how we connect to God. We connect to God by growing in relationships and serving God with one another. When you have the spiritual earthquakes, one of the brothers that was diagnosed with cancer in our church, his band of brothers surrounded him, and they've been there for him and supporting him. He's had an earthquake in his life, but because he's in communion, he's in community with other believers, there's support and strength in his time of need. See, God this morning has called you and I. God's called you and I to be part of this team, part of this community of believers. If you're a member here, even if you're just an attender, this is a great place. This is an awesome place for you to fellowship and to have community with other believers. I have five people in this service right now. They're going to come up and they're just going to talk to us about their group. They're going to talk to us about their community that they're either involved in now or they're getting ready to start. Each one of these people up here this morning have been shaped by God for a purpose. God's created them. God's made them. I know each one of these people personally. They have a relationship with Jesus. They love Jesus. And they're here this morning because they've connected with God in worship and celebration, but they're also connecting with other believers in community. And so we're going to interview them. We're going to ask you what your group is and kind of what's the main point of your group. And this morning, the last thing that's going to happen, I'm going to dismiss you in just a moment. I'm going to invite you this morning to go around and to look at every single table. Some of the people at the tables will be out there, but I'm going to invite every person here not only to celebrate God on a Sunday morning, but to connect in community with other people. This is how you get plugged into God's purpose for your life. So we're going to start off with Chandra. And Chandra, why don't you tell us what your group is and what you guys do.
Our group is called Intelligent Design because we're created in God's image, and we are a craft group, and so we're going to be creating things as well. And our first activity next month is going to be to make Christmas cards.
Awesome.
So, but we're going to focus on a different craft each time. And the great thing is, women, girls, ages 10 and above, if you don't know how to do things, we're going to teach you, so you don't have to feel like you already know how to do it.
Amen. Awesome.
Hi there. I'm Jacqueline Turner, and We have Celebrate Recovery and have exciting news. We're meeting on Tuesdays, but as of the 13th of October, we'll be meeting on Wednesday nights, probably over in the City Oak, and we're excited about that. Our purpose is to help the body of Christ grow and learn how to overcome the sin that so easily besets us. And that applies to all of us. Amen. So if that's something that interests you and you want to be an overcomer and you're willing to commit for a year, Celebrate Recovery is the place to be.
Awesome. Amen.
I'm Marilyn Maples. My niece Kelly and I are hosting Breakfast and Goodwill. We're going to meet for breakfast, and then we're going to go to Goodwill and shop.
Oh, that come will, on.
That will also mean garage sales. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And our first meeting was set for November 20th.
Awesome. Thank you, Marilyn.
Good morning. Scott Arnett. Don't have a name for the group yet. We'll determine that. But we want to start a car club. It'll be a social and service-based organization. So whether you have a car that's, a street rod, an old, a classic, an antique, awesome. Or you have a Honda with a muffler and a fresh air system, and
there
it's your
go.
Car,
come
you
on.
Want to come to get together, and you just love your car, you want to get together, we're just going to form that group. And
that's awesome. I'm excited.
Guys, girls,
that.
Whoever, we
no,
don't
that's
care.
That's a cool group. That's awesome. That's great.
Well, so far I want to join them all.
I want to join
the
them all, Karen.
Group.
Okay, let's come on up. Here.
We have City Sages for the seniors, 55 and older, and we have a great time. We sing old hymns.
Come on, amen. We sang one today.
Yes, we did.
We got one in there for you today, there, Karen.
We sing old hymns. We
have fellowship and food.
We have fellowship and food. We meet the second Sunday of every month.
You got a big Christmas thing coming up.
Yes, we do. We're
awesome.
Going to do holiday tour.
Awesome. Great job, Karen.
I'm with her.
Oh, good. Good. And, I'm going to move right on down.
And I just want to point out one thing about our City Sages is the name of our group. More importantly, we would like to contribute our life experiences to the church collectively. We have over 500 years of life experience.
Amen. Come on.
Ben Hamby, and I'm in leading the golf group here in at City Church.
Amen.
This is open to men and women. We have been playing at the Winter Park Golf Course for August, September, and we'll finish in October.
The book we're reading is?
And the book that I've been promoting and asking the guys to... check out is the
Sacred
Golf Sacred Journey. And it's a very good book. If you go to the links of utopia.com, that's there for a free download. But it is a life-changing event. It talks about having rhythm. Let's see, what balance, rhythm, and patience. And if you apply that to life, that's pretty much what you need. You need to have the right balance between God, church, and the family, and your work environment, and you need rhythm. And oftentimes we get out of rhythm. If the band gets out of rhythm up here, you pretty well know it. Everybody's going their own direction. And in times in life, we get that same way. And we also need to learn patience. And this book brings it out in a golf lesson type environment. Zig Ziglar was a big promoter of it. Steve Cook is the author of it, but we may do a study on that after we finish with our league, and this is on a Monday night. Matter of fact, we play tomorrow night, so I'll be out there
all
if
right.
you sign up.
Good job, Ben. Thanks.
I'm Jerron, and I host the basketball small group here on Thursdays at 6 o'clock. Oh, and Kenny, he also helped me lead it, but he's not here right now, but... my small group is for the saved, but also is primarily for the unsaved.
Amen.
And that's how like, cause a lot of unsaved people play basketball.
Right. Come
so,
on.
So we give a word at like the beginning of it, so we can plant a seed and let them see our hearts. It's really for the unsaved, so they can come and join us, and that's basically it.
Amen. Let's give these guys a great big hand.
Thanks for listening to this message, Your Future, with Lead Pastor Eugene Smith. For service times and more information about City Church Orlando, please visit our website anytime at orlandocitychurch.com or call 407-321-9600.